Praise the Lord. All right. Well, how many in here saved? Raise your hand. Okay. You're not yet. Okay, everyone is. Okay. Praise the Lord. Everyone's saved. Okay, we can go home now. My work is finished. Praise God. My work is finished. God is good. You know, I just want to thank the Lord real quick, so let's just open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for your word. Oh, I just thank you, Jesus, for never quitting, never giving up, never relenting, but completely fulfilling the will of God for your lives, that we can all have eternal life, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being sent to us, that we can walk in fellowship with you while we're sojourning on this earth, Lord. Father, I thank you that you never leave us, you never forsake us, you never look away for even one moment, and you only say good things for us. You have peace with us, and that it is your will to only do good to us, Lord. And I thank you for that, and we receive it, and we just rejoice in your presence this morning, for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, the Lord is so good. All right. So I want to start today with a wonderful verse. It is Mark 9:23. So let's all turn there. I'm already just one page away, praise God. Are y'all ready with me? Do I have to stay up here? I do, okay. I'll do my best. I'll get down there somehow. All right, Mark 9:23. Amen. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." You know, that's really true. If we can believe. If we can believe, all things are possible to us who believe. And verse 24 says, immediately the father of the child, we're talking about the kid that was filled with a demon, cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Amen? So I think that I can use myself as an example, and maybe some of you also. I have faith to believe God for a lot of things. But I also have some unbelief in my heart also. And I believe God for stuff, but I've got that unbelief in there too. And sometimes that unbelief blocks, veils what God's trying to do in my life. Anybody else ever been there? Raise your hands. I believe that God never lies. I believe that we can really trust him completely. And so I believe that the random element that stops whatever we're believing God for. Anybody believing God for anything besides me? I'm believing God for a couple of things. And so I'm believing God for something material, and I'm believing God for something physical. You know, and sometimes it seems like the material things come a little easier than the physical things do. For me, some of you might be reversed. You might get physical healings in your body easier than whatever you're believing God in the material world for. But I want to let you know that it's only me that is blocking me from receiving God. And that's a tough one. That's a really tough one, because I want to let you know, if I am praying what I think is with my whole heart, and I'm convinced I'm praying with my whole heart and I'm doing what I know to do, I am sometimes guilty, and maybe you guys might be too, of saying, "I've been doing my part, now God, you got to do your part," as if he's not, or as if he hasn't. Anybody in that same boat? It's a pretty big boat, I think. It's a pretty big boat. Because I want to let you know that it is not a slam dunk thing that if you are believing God for something and you find a verse in the Bible that says you're entitled to it or it is the will of God, that it's just going to be instantly manifested in your life. It's not. How many of y'all have something that's not quite manifesting as fast as you'd like it to? Me too. So I have to check my heart and find out what the heck is going on, because I'm actually doing what I believe is praying with a sincere heart. I believe that I'm actually praying with a sincere heart and that I am actually doing what I know to do, whether it's confessing verses, whether it's resisting the devil, whatever it may be. And I'm still not seeing results yet. So then I go looking in the Bible and going, am I supposed to suffer for the glory of God? Am I supposed to? Well, I want to let you know something. We will go through problems on this earth. We will. But that never means that God is putting them on us, right? So who's doing that? What's John 10:10 say? If you put that up for us. John 10:10. There's a thief. It doesn't say there's an evil person. There's a thief. And the thief does not come except, it's the only reason this thief comes, is to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? So we got him. And then Jesus says that I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Okay? So, life and life more abundantly. That sounds pretty good. I like that one. I like that one a lot. But there is someone that's trying to stop that from happening. Okay? Now, has the devil, let's go with me. She doesn't have this. You're going to have to run, Julie. Colossians 2:15. Pastor Trey. Pastor Trey says, I got all these verses up there, and Pastor Trey says, okay, I bet you'll use three of them. He could be right. Okay, ready? Are you with me? With Colossians 2:15. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So, the devil has been defeated, right? The devil has been defeated. He has been triumphed over. He has been. But you know what? Have you ever seen, you all seen movies. You ever seen the criminal who's in jail and is already in jail, but they still got a mouth on them? And they're still convincing people with their mouth, even though they're in jail. They plant little seeds in the jailer's heart or in the visitor's heart. And they still manipulate you or the people in the movies with their mouth. Do you know what? The devil does the same thing. And the thing is, he does it with his mouth, and he will say things to you that you think are your thoughts. And what he'll do is he will get us to the place that we agree with the internal dialogue that we hear or that we think. We'll feel something and associate it with something. We'll call, oh yeah, and we'll just see that. And you know what it does? It deactivates us from pushing it out of our lives. Isn't that good news? No, it's not. It's bad news. It's really bad news. He does that. He deceives us. He's a deceiver, isn't it? He has always been a liar from the beginning. He blames us, and he's always there to tear us down. But you know how we started today? In rejoicing before the Lord. We need to rejoice before the Lord. So here's the little trick. There is an inner you and an outer you. We all know this, right? There's a spiritual person and there's a flesh and blood carnal person, right? And the spiritual person is the real you and me, isn't it? It is. The invisible person inside of us is the real person. But then we've got a body, a physical person, that may not be demonstrating the things that the Bible says the spiritual person has. It's possible. Is it possible? It's possible. Turn with me in your Bibles, will you? We're going to look at three verses about the inner person. So let's do the first one. It's 2 Corinthians 4:16. Ready? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." How many bodies getting older? It is. It's perishing, isn't it? This outward one at this moment seems to be perishing. I tell you, if I almost stepped down there. It's like off limits or something. No, I'll tell you, if I got my body at Sears, I would take it back and get a refund. There's no doubt about it, because I want to let you know, it's not doing what the warranty said it was going to do. Or maybe my warranty expired or something. But I'll tell you what, it's not doing exactly everything that I want it to do. Any of you experiencing the same thing? I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but I may want to go in that direction, but my foot goes in that direction sometimes. It's just crazy the way it is, because the outward man is perishing. He really is. Is that okay? Liz says, no, it's not okay that the outward man is perishing. So let me ask you this. Are you the outward man or the inward man? The inward man has eternal life. Doesn't he or she? The inward person is the one that has all the power of God. All the power of God is on the inward person, not the outer person by itself. Not the outer person by itself. We're going to get into some pretty exciting stuff here today. So let's look at another verse. If you're with me, go to Romans 7:22. This is in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Are you with me? Here it goes. Romans 7:22. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." And what Paul is talking about in Romans 7 is that the sin dwells in the flesh. And that though the flesh may do things that I don't approve of, on the inside, the law of God in my mind, I am happy to do the right things. But not only, I can't always do the right things, because there is another law working in my flesh. Right? So there's a flesh and blood body, and there's an inner person. Let's do one more. Go with me to Ephesians 3:16. I love this verse. It says in Ephesians 3:16, "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might," that's dunamis, "through his spirit in the inner man." That God would strengthen us with dunamis power from his spirit into our inner person. This is pretty exciting. Now we're into the exciting stuff. So that means, let me just run off track for a little bit. Sorry, Julie. You remember Jesus when he was healing people? Do you know what? The majority of the people, you know how they got healed? Huh? They took it, she says. Some people did. Do you know most people just touched him? They just got in his presence, or he just touched them? His physical body made contact with their physical body or his clothing. Not by him saying, "if you do three Hail Marys and turn around clockwise six times, you'll be healed. You know, if you promise not to swear anymore for 1 month, I'll save everybody in your family." That's not any of that stuff. It was his physical body had an anointing in it. And when anybody got close enough to him to touch him, or for him to touch them, or for him to make spit in the mud, or for him to hock a loogie on their tongue, whatever it was, the substance of his body touched them and they got healed. Okay? You read the Bible for yourself. Okay? That's how Jesus was healing people. And then he would also heal with a word. He would also say, "according to your faith, let it be done unto you." Right? Those were basically the ways that Jesus healed people. So how is that possible if the corruption is in our bodies, how is that possible? By that Spirit of God that dwells in us, that we would get the dunamis power of God operating on the inside of us. Until the dunamis power of God is so big inside of us that it comes out our pores, that it energizes our thoughts, that it gives us an attitude and a point of view that is eternal in the heavenlies. Because we're so energized by the Spirit of God and the life of God that that very life now is resident in our physical bodies. Okay? That doesn't come in just 10 seconds of saying, Lord, I love you. Or pray for somebody for 5 seconds. That's not how it comes. It comes by the working of that anointing in us, through us using it, through us being in the presence of God, through us renewing our minds and being the anointed sons and daughters of God. Isn't this exciting? If it's exciting, stay here, okay? Don't leave. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I want to let you know something. This is really good news. So how do we get this anointing in us to go get bigger and bigger and bigger? Here's the rub. I'll use me as an example. Let's just say that my legs are not as strong as I would like them to be. Okay? I've been falling down lately. It's the strangest feeling I've ever felt in my life. I'll walk down my stairs thinking there's a step right there, and there's not. And I will just whoosh down to the ground I went the other day. And I thought, oh, this is a strange feeling. My body isn't as agile and as strong as it normally has been. Something's changing. I just had a birthday yesterday, by the way, 61 years old. Go ahead and clap now. Yay, happy birthday, Robert. Great, thank you very much. So it's easy for my brain to think because I'm 61 now, things are going to start not working the way they did before. Is that what the Bible says? Not at all does the Bible say that. Who told me that? Who do you think told me that? I think that it was the thief that told me that. The thief told me that because a lot of other people believe that, and so it's easy to accept that because I see that in operation and others believe it happening in their lives. Therefore, it's easy for me to accept that's true too. Are you with me? He uses those words, and he comes in my mind and my feeling and my associations, okay? And he tries to trip me up. I had to rebuke that and say, no, that is not true. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm getting older. It has to do with the fact that I wasn't paying attention. That's all. And I had to override that. Are you with me? We must use our words and override all those little thoughts, all those little feelings that get in there and try to confirm the deficiency or the problem or whatever my expectation is that's not being met at the moment. Are you with me? I need to declare war on anything that comes into my mind or into my feeling world that is not abundant life. I'm serious. That's up to me. It's up to you. Now, here's the thing. Do you know that I have been guilty of, now none of you, this is just me, I have been guilty of just living life remembering what the Bible says rather than being in relationship with the Holy Spirit of eternal life. Are you with me? It's easy to think about what the Bible says rather than to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit in this moment of what I'm going through. I have learned that rejoicing in the Lord changes everything. Because here's the thing, that's why we sang this song today. It's like whenever I've got a problem, I go to the Lord. Sometimes immediately, sometimes a year and a half later. I'm being honest. There are things that I have endured in my body that I have not taken authority over as if my life depended on it. And guess what? Those little things start piling up. Next thing you know, they're like Gulliver. You guys ever seen Gulliver? Ever read the books Gulliver? Do you know what I'm talking about when I talk about Gulliver? It's a trilogy and it's a book, a story about a man, a shipmate, and he got stranded on an island. And on this particular island, he was a giant, and the people of the island were little tiny people. They were called Lilliputians, right? And the giant was laying on the beach, and you know what they did? They started putting these little ropes, their big ropes, over this giant. Okay, and they were just little tiny threads to him. But what happens is all those little threads were building up. And when they got enough of those little threads on that giant, they had him pinned to the ground, and he was their prisoner. Little teeny tiny threads, because he was asleep and unconscious on the island. Okay? The devil does it slow and steady to win the race. You need to know this. It's not those big, overwhelming baseball bats in the side of the head. It is the little tiny feelings, the little tiny thoughts, the little tiny words of agreement, the little tiny, where are you, Lord? It's not happening yet. How long will it be? All those things are the trap. Every bit of it's the trap. You're in the trap if you're doing any of that. What we need to be doing is what? Rejoicing and being thankful. This point was brought up last night. Pastor Trey, I'm going to have to give you a dollar. You were right. This point was brought up last night. You know what he says? I told you already. I hardly ever use the verses I give them to use. That's all. So last night we were talking about being thankful. Bruce is teaching a wonderful book about Walk of Spirit, Walk of Power. Great book on Wednesday nights. You guys all got to come. And we were talking about being thankful at the very end. And here's the key. This just hit me like an unlocked key to a lock, just unlocked last night. You know, we can say, I'm coming down to this one. That is one little thread. That is, you know, I had a dog and I would not let it eat off my plate at all. No, absolutely not. Except when my wife wasn't looking. Just a little bit here. Well, I made the mistake. My wife told me not to feed the dog people food for a reason. It took me a while to learn it. That dog would get up and it'd get over here, and I'd be trying to eat my food, and then it'd come to here. And then it'd get to right here, until the dog's face is right here. And then I got to push the dog. Okay, I caused that to happen by, in the very beginning, not dealing with it, trying to be nice, you know. So we have to take care of things while they're small in the beginning, because they will definitely pile up on the inside of us. And then we wonder why it's not going away when we pray. In the first example I gave you about the little boy that was filled with a demon, deaf and dumb spirit, okay? He couldn't talk and he couldn't hear. And the disciples said, why could we not cast this one out? And what did he say? Yes, this one only goes out by prayer and fasting. Now, I don't care if you've been taught that it's the unbelief that goes out by prayer and fasting so you can accomplish throwing a demon out, or if it's the demon that goes out by prayer and fasting. Both are fine with me. What Jesus is making the point of, you have to really be serious and committed to get some of these things accomplished. Are you with me? You got to be very serious and deliberate about it to get some of these results that you need in your life. John G. Lake, you know who he is? You've heard of him? He was a man back in the early years, and he started in Washington State, and he was a man who believed God, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, had a hard time receiving it, but then got baptized in the Holy Spirit and really started praying in tongues, and working of miracles and healings were happening in his life. So much so, this is documented truth, he closed down 2 hospitals in the state of Washington because he's getting everybody healed. Then, because they were giving him so much grief in Washington, he moved down to Portland, Oregon, and opened up his healing rooms and did the exact same things and taught other people how to pray the way that he prays. And you know what his thing was? Ooh, we would not like this. This is what he said. If you want to be a prayer minister in his healing rooms, this is what we'll do. I want you to come to the meeting. I'm going to hook you up with somebody with a terminal disease. I want you to go to their house and heal them. And do not come back until it's done. Okay? Don't leave their house until they're completely healed. He had such tremendous results because this is vitally important. Too many times we're rolling it off onto God instead of realizing he actually gave me the power by his Holy Spirit, that the dunamis power of God, like we read in Ephesians, would be in me. And if we read on, that the fullness of God would be manifested through me, that he can do exceedingly abundantly above more than I can ask or think, according to the power that works inside of me. Okay? So Christendom needs to accept the fact that the power is in you. You cannot roll it off onto God. It's a gift from God by his Holy Spirit in you, that the power of God flows through you into and energizes the one who makes contact with you, either in word or in physical contact. Okay, this moment right now is the whole moment the Holy Spirit wanted to accomplish today. This is it right here. You are the one. You're not waiting for another somebody. You're the somebody. Let this sink in. Don't come back until you heal them. So now, what the heck do you do? What do you really do now? If it's up to you that they get healed, not up to you praying your guts out to God to get him to do it for you, that the power's actually in you, and it's up to you to do it now. And don't look to anybody else. It's up to you only. Now, we look at what the devil has whispered in us. Now, we look at what lies we've believed. Now we look at what bondages actually hold us back. And we can see where we've been tripped up. So what are you living with that you actually are the one person that has the authority to remove it from you? And then what has disqualified you from being that person? Some of you aren't disqualified. Some of you are operating in it magnificently, and praise God for that. But each one of us have to realize that the devil is going to try to condemn you somehow and make you pay attention to your flesh and blood person to disqualify you, to get you to measure yourself according to the flesh, instead of according to who you are in the spirit. And when you get your eyes off of the flesh and the fact that the flesh is falling apart day by day, but you are being renewed every single day more and more and more in your eternal person, in your inner man or woman. Now, when you get your inner man or woman to the point of being so saturated in the presence and the belief of the Lord, it will come out into your flesh. And then your flesh that is perishing will carry the very anointing and the glory and the power of God that Jesus walked in, and that Paul walked in, and that Peter walked in, and that John walked in, and so many others that I don't even know to name. So then, whose responsibility is it? How committed are we? You need to look at that and make a decision. How important is it really to you to be the person that proves the anointing and the kingdom of God is with men in this world? Is it only about you and your single life, or is it about all these people that are hating each other right now and are causing all kinds of problems in this world? You know, even on a natural level as Americans, we used to say something called the Pledge of Allegiance. And they took it out of the schools, you know that? Because it is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So the enemy is trying to divide us. He's using the very tactic that God used against the evil of his day of Babylon, of Babel, where they built the tower, and because they were of one mind and they were unified, they could do anything, right? But their hearts were always evil to the Lord, so he had to confuse them and give them a different language. So now that we have a country that is one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, we could accomplish anything. Well, the devil hates that. So you know what he's got to do? He's got to get us to speak different languages and to class ourselves and divide ourselves, to separate us so that we can't accomplish greatness in this country. So it's not a new thing that's happening. But here's the point. Remember when I said that those little thoughts, that if you even get in the dialogue, you're already in the trap? It's the same way. If you even get involved in that, you're in the trap. You've taken a side. But if you will, and I will, be the one that believes that the power and the glory and the anointing is in me by the Spirit of God, then we can walk with the power and the anointing that will change people's lives. But it's up to us. It's really up to us. Will you believe that you are filled with the goodness and the glory of God? Time will tell, right? Time will tell. You know, David said something in Psalms 23. You want to go there with me real quick? I want to look at the last verse in Psalms 23. Let's see, where's 23? Oh, yeah, between 24 and 22. There it is. Look what verse 6 says. Surely goodness and mercy will go before me all the days of my life. Why are you smiling? It doesn't say that, does it? It says goodness and mercy is following me. It's following me all the days of my life. I'm not looking for goodness and mercy. Wherever I go, goodness and mercy is left behind because I bring it to the table. Amen? That's what David was saying. Goodness and mercy follows him. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How exciting is this? Everywhere that we go, goodness and mercy can follow us. You know what the New Testament's version of that is? Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow us. Okay, if you want to jump up and shout right now and do a couple jumping jacks, go ahead. Go ahead. It's okay. It's all right. Praise God. Isn't this exciting? It's really exciting. It's really exciting. But if we do not take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, if we do not press in, if we do not consider it important, then the chances are days will go by, the glory and the power diminishes because of our unfamiliarity with it, and then the blindness and the darkness and the dullness kind of creep in, and then the distractions of this world come strongly, and it feels like a distance between us and God is created. But if we will repent, if we will change real quickly our minds and our attentions in this fast, we can be right back there again by just accepting the truth that we're already in the presence of God. So being thankful. When we can thank the Lord for something, what does that mean? That we've already gotten it. This is going to make me bust too. How much time do I got? Oh, I got lots of time still. This is so exciting. Look at this, guys. If you're thankful for something, you've already gotten it. And how does the Lord expect us to live our lives? Being thankful. So here's the thing. We rejoice in the Lord always. Let's go to that verse. Joe, you want to put it up for me? We rejoice in the Lord. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Let's look there. We're going to do 5:16, 17, and 18. We rejoice in the Lord always. And here's the thing. If you're in the doldrums, if you're under the thumb of whatever it is, if you're tied to the sand by the little Gulliver threads, it's hard to rejoice. Because you're going, well, I don't know. I don't have anything to rejoice about. I got problems. This is happening all. You know this? You do it by faith. You just rejoice by faith until you get there. I've used this example before. It's excellent. I'll use it again. No matter how bad the weather is here in middle Georgia, the thunder clouds, the lightnings, the tornado warnings, the frigid cold, the pouring rain, the wind blowing, no matter how it is, if you just get a little altitude, you can rise above every bit of that, and the sun is shining pristinely. It never stops shining. It's always shining. The trouble is when we let our altitude sink down to the flesh. And that's where the problems are. But if we can get our attention above the storm, it's beautiful up there. So we rejoice because we have eternal life. We rejoice because our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We rejoice because the Lord will never leave us and never forsake us. We rejoice because the Spirit of God is in us and working through us. And we remind ourselves and we start rejoicing in those things and start stirring ourselves up, and all of a sudden, our attention is no longer on the deficiency or the problem. Our attention is now where it belongs, back up on the Lord and on the kingdom of God. In that place, you can be filled with the fullness of God. You can renew your mind. You can be built up, and you can be shored up so that the inner man is being renewed day by day. Right? Look at this. So it's 1 Thessalonians. Oh, I'm in Timothy. That's not going to work. Let me read it off the screen. 5:16. Rejoice always. 17. Pray without ceasing. 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, for me. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean muttering words all the time. It really is, yes, speaking, yes, praying in tongues, but being focused and intent on accomplishing that thing in the spirit or in the natural. You're intently focused on doing that thing. Let's just say this. A storm has come and you're in your house. We've got mostly senior ladies here, so this will be a good example. So you're in your home. You're alone. The storm is raging outside. And you hear somebody trying to get in through one of the windows. And you go to the phone, and the cell towers are down, the landlines are down, and you have no way to communicate with the outside world. And you see the shadow flash, and you hear the rattle. There's definitely somebody trying to come in. Now what do? Do you roll over and die? All of a sudden, I almost went down one more. All of a sudden, your mind will almost supernaturally engage into how do I protect myself? How do I stop this person? And things will come to your mind, whether you go get a gun, whether you go grab a rolling pin, whether you go hide in your house, whether you sneak into your garage and get into your car and take off. Something will come to your mind to save your life, won't it? If it's really only up to you and nobody else. Well, what if whatever you're facing became that important to you? To where everything inside of you gauged up a notch, woke up, and had to solve the problem. What would you do differently? I'm not asking for any answers. I want you to think. How real is what you want the Lord to do for you? How true is it? How big is it for you? And you know what? I promise you, you can accomplish it. You can figure it out. You can get it done. God's no respecter of persons. The Holy Spirit has been given freely to all of us to richly enjoy His presence, His anointing, and His power. But sometimes there's a little wax in our ears. There's a little bit of emotional tussles going on. There's things that are what we call in the way. And we need to be the ones that drive that thing out. Are you with me? So, how many of you love the Lord? Who's saved in this room? Praise God. So, who of you is this message not for? Everybody. Amen. So then it is a matter of whether or not we really want to press in. So now can I put a little pressure on you? Like the phone lines are down and the cell towers are down and you're home alone. The storm is raging. Someone's rattling at your windows. How are you going to handle it if the riots come to Macon, Georgia? How are you going to handle it if really bad people start coming around you? How are you going to handle it if these people have no rational thought at all? Do you believe that the power of God is operating in you and that angels are standing with you and that there's no way this thing is going to have its way in your life? Or are you going to roll over and die? Say, he's coming through the window. He's coming through the window. It's up to you. See, this is a wonderful time we're in right now. We get to really see havoc in our own land. Isn't that wonderful? Not that the havoc is happening, but that it starts making how real is what the Lord said he's given us manifesting in our lives. How's it really going? Do you know we have angels? Jesus said if he wanted to call angels from heaven down, they would pull him off that cross. He could call legions of angels if he wanted to, and he didn't. You have angels too. You have the Holy Spirit, and you have the fullness of the power of God operating in you. Praise the Lord. So now if somebody with coronavirus gets around you, what do you say? Here, touch me. But only if it's real. If it's not real, you better get to the doctors real quick. You might need a respirator. But the truth of the matter is, what's realer to you? The flesh that is perishing or the inward man that's being renewed day by day? Is the anointing in you and operating through you? You don't have to do anything to get it. You just have to cultivate the relationship with God. It's already true. It just has to be your reality that you're walking in, that you realize you are light. You are the son or daughter of God. The power of God operates through you, period. It was a gift of God. So we need to fortify our minds, because I'll let you know, if you do not fortify your minds, you will get sucker punched into being afraid, being compelled by outside sources to do things that you may not want to do, and they will slowly but surely rob you of your power. Little Gulliver threads here and there and here and there. I'm not saying to be rebellious and foolish. I'm saying work on the inner. Work on it. Be serious. Be diligent. Work on the manifestation of the Lord in your life. Work on being the person that God uses on the earth. It doesn't mean you have to overcome a hurdle bit by bit. Sitting in your chair, praying in the Heavenly Spirit, believing, renewing your mind, getting verses to back it up, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Add to your faith more faith. Are you with me? I love you guys. Was this message okay? Okay, I don't want to be hard on you. But we're coming into a time where the phone lines will be down, the weather will be bad, and you'll be left alone. How are you going to do? Prepare now so that, guess what? He goes to another house and not yours. That you can say that no plague is coming near my dwelling. That you can say, I am under the shadow of the Most High. I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know that? David had some great revelation in the Psalms. You and I can have that same. We are the hope of this world. God doesn't have a plan B. You're it. You're his best choice. But you have to believe you're that choice. Your age, your gender, any disability, none of it has anything to do to qualify you or disqualify you. It is only about believing God that you really are who he said you are. That's all it is. Amen? I love you guys. I'm going to go ahead and pray, okay? Father, I just thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for being here today. Holy Spirit, you're a person. You're not just like electricity and just power only. Holy Spirit, I just ask that the people in this room, myself included, and everyone watching and listening, can really build our relationship with you. Because you are a spirit of unity and of peace. And that you're the one that strengthens us on our inner man. You're the one that anoints us. You're the one that brings the power of God into our lives. And Holy Spirit, instead of us looking at what's not working and why is things taking so long and letting fear have an opportunity to make any kind of residence within us, Lord, I ask that you would open and enlighten each person's mind, that they would know what is the purpose of God for them and what your expectation is on each one of us, Lord. That we can walk in the calling that we were called to do. That we can fulfill the purpose that you created us for on this earth, which is to manifest the glory in the kingdom of God and to reconcile other people back to you. So, Father, I ask that you strengthen each one of us in our inner persons. That you would renew our minds, that we would take captive every thought that is opposing to the identity that we are anointed, we are chosen, and we are filled with the glory of God. That any thoughts that oppose that, Lord, that we would root those out, Lord, and stand fast. And when we've done everything to stand, that we would stand in the knowledge of who we are, with the helmet of salvation on, that we are securely saved, and no thought can deter us from that. And the breastplate of righteousness, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, period. And that we have the belt of truth on, Lord. That we live the truth. You are the truth. We follow truth. We speak truth, Lord. And Father, that our feet truly are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Lord. That we are really the person that when this craziness comes around us, that we can speak the peace of God and the unity of God to the people around us, Lord. And Lord, that we do have a shield of faith, that we have our faith firmly established, covering and protecting us. So when the evil one fires those fiery missiles or those darts at us to try to stop us and knock us down, they're quenched by the faith that we have in you, Lord. And Father, that we do have a sword, which is the word of God, that cuts in both directions, Lord. That when we say what you say, that we can destroy the enemy. When we speak and pray in the Spirit, it takes out and inflicts wounds into the evil one, Lord. Father, I just thank you that you have absolutely equipped us for this day that we are in. Let us not shrink back, but let us, Father, wake up and walk in the boldness of God in this situation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.